This evening, we are going to finish together going through this section of Ezekiel. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 24 tonight. I'm reading out of the Pew Bible that's in front of you. We're going to be on page 755. Ezekiel chapter 24, this is not the last chapter in Ezekiel. However, this is going to be our last chapter in Ezekiel for a little while. Next Sunday, we'll be into the Gospels for a little bit, and then we'll continue on through the summer and into the fall, rotating into the New Testament for a while and the Old Testament again. We have gone through some of the heaviest sections in Scripture here in Ezekiel. But what's to come is more difficult for a moment. After chapter 24, we have for several chapters God's judgment against the other nations around Israel and the fall of Israel. But then the well-known parts of Ezekiel come in the last part of the book, which we'll save for another time. We'll get to come back to God's promises of restoration, and we'll read tonight in the Valley of the Dry Bones. However, though it has been heavy, I think it's been good. Though it's been hard to preach, though it's been hard to hear, it's been a delight to read that even through such anguish and even through judgment, God is good. God has a perfect plan for His people, and God loves them dearly. And as an extension of God's perfect plan for His people, God has a perfect plan for us, and God loves you dearly as well. We need to read this passage. We're going to start in verse 15, the death of Ezekiel's wife. There's nothing else like this in Scripture. We're going to read about this tragedy that happens. God speaks to Ezekiel and tells him that his wife is going to die. And then God is going to use this, all of Ezekiel's life handed over to God, as he is a man of God. And so he is happy to oblige God. We've read all sorts of wild signs that Ezekiel has done, that God has called him to do, laying on his side, building little toy siege devices to attack little toy cities, all sorts of things that he's done. And now, even as his wife dies, God says, I'm going to use this too as a sign against Israel. Let's pray together and let's read this passage. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you. Father, put your Spirit on us to teach us about you so that we can worship you better. We thank you that you have treated us so graciously. This I pray in your name. Amen. We're going to start in verse 15 of chapter 24 in Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I'm about to take the delight of your eyes away from you with a fatal blow. But you must not lament or weep or let your tears flow. Groan quietly and do not observe mourning rites for the dead. Put on your turban and strap your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache or eat the bread of mourners. I spoke to the people in the morning, and my wife died in the evening. The next morning, I did just as I was commanded. The people asked me, won't you tell us what these things you are doing mean for us? So I answered them, the word of the Lord came to me. Say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. I'm about to desecrate my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the delight of your eyes, the desire of your heart. Also, the sons and daughters you left behind will fall by the sword. Then you will do just as I have done. You will not cover your mustache or eat the bread of mourners. Your turban will remain on your head and your sandals on your feet. You will not lament or weep, but you will waste away because of your inquiries, and you will groan to one another. Iniquities, and you will groan to one another. Now Ezekiel will be a sign for you. You will do everything that he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the Lord God. As for you, son of man, know that on that day I will take from them their stronghold, their pride and joy, the delight of their eyes, the longing of their hearts, as well as their sons and daughters. On that day, a fugitive will come to you and report the news, and on that day, your mouth will be open to talk with him, and you will speak and no longer be mute. So you will be a sign for them, and they will know that I am the Lord. I might ask that question as we go through Ezekiel here. How much harder can it get? How much heavier can these passages get? And here's your answer. Here it is, at long last, finally, the last prophecy that God has for the people. And the prophecy is a sign from Ezekiel that his wife is going to die. And Ezekiel, though grieved, though loving this dear wife of his, Scripture says here, she is the delight of his eye. This is the great Israelite love story. He's not to grieve, and this is going to be a sign to the people. Ezekiel, who has always obeyed the Lord, finds no cause to disobey the Lord now. And so he allows his grief to be a sign to Israel, and they all are so finally startled by this. Of all the signs that he's given them, now in this one, they say, What does it mean? They finally turn to Ezekiel and say, my goodness, what is this about? What are you trying to tell us? What could this possibly mean? And he tells them that the delight of their eyes has been Jerusalem, this city, this temple, this holy place, this walled area. And they're going to lose it. It is going to go away along with their sons and daughters, and they are going to go off, but not even having time to have mourning rituals and mourning rites. They're going to be running for their own lives and fleeing in the midst of all this. So dark and grievous is the judgment that will come upon them for their sin. As we've talked about, so dark and so grievous is their sin as to warrant judgment. This passage is about two things. It is about Ezekiel and his wife, and it is about God and his people. First, about Ezekiel and his wife. We just don't get this kind of intimate look into the life of other prophets like we do here with Ezekiel. We have Ezekiel who delighted over this wife, but lost her in the course of life here, and her death was used as a sign. He was to go on ministering, even though personal grief had stricken him. He loved her. She was the delight of his eyes, and yet he lost his wife. And he needed to continue on telling God's people what God had to say to them. So grievous and painful it is for Ezekiel. I'm reminded here of John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. You know John Bunyan. Perhaps you've read Pilgrim's Progress. Apparently, it's like the most published book beside the Bible that's out there. I love it dearly. John Bunyan was a fascinating Baptist. That's right, he was one of ours. He had four children, the oldest of which was blind. They were all under the age of 10 when he went to jail for preaching without a license. Because in England at the time, this is after the restoration of the monarchy, after Cromwell's revolution, they put in some strict rules, Parliament and this new king that they brought back, the Acts of Conformity, where everyone had to go to an Anglican church and everyone had to worship God the same way, and they were shoring up the country and putting it all back in order. And yet John Bunyan was a Baptist, and so he did not believe in going to an Anglican church. He did not believe in Anglican worship. And so he preached the gospel without a license, and so they put him in jail. And he left behind these four children, all under the age of 10. And this wife, Elizabeth, who, let's just talk about how fantastic Elizabeth is. John Bunyan will be in and out of prison for the next 12 years. And she will raise these children. He will periodically get a brief break to go home to his family. But Elizabeth, after 2 years of him being in prison, is going for a court hearing. She goes to the panel of judges and she begs them, please release him to come home to his family and children. And they say, will he stop preaching? And she says, oh, he dare not stop preaching as long as he can speak. But you need to release him nonetheless to come home to his family. What you're doing is wrong. What he is doing is right. Such a godly woman, the delight of his eye. And such a harsh sentencing that he spends so much time away from his wife and children, all for the sake of the gospel. Because he is unwilling to do otherwise than to preach the gospel rightly, just as he reads it, just as Ezekiel does. And so he misses so much time with them. He will be eventually released. And while in prison, he writes Pilgrim's Progress, a book that changes the world and changes the life of so many people, but not without great personal grief. It is true that we who believe must take up our cross to follow God. It is not always easy following Christ, but it is Christ who has bore the wrath of God for each and every one of us. So it is easy for Christ to say, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is the easy yoke. Well, how do you say to Ezekiel, take my yoke upon you, my yoke's the easy yoke? How do you say to John Bunyan, oh, my yoke's the easy yoke? To lose family, to lose this wife that Ezekiel's lost, for John to spend so much time not getting to see his children grow up, not getting to provide for his family and having to leave them destitute and simply hoping that others will take care of them. How do you call that the easy yoke? It's the easy yoke because Christ bore the wrath of God for us, which we could not do. So though it may cost us greatly to follow after Christ and obey Him rightly, it is always the right thing to do. Even though it is difficult here for Ezekiel, yet even in grieving his wife, he groans quietly. The Bible says, he is this last sign to Israel. And here, finally, they're willing to listen. And they listen. It is too late. The destruction of the Jerusalem is at hand. And they lose their nation and they lose their city. And just like he prophesies, families are ripped apart. They are sent off into exile. The whole city is brought to the ground. And it's all destroyed. You'll remember, you know, when Ezra, when Nehemiah come back to rebuild the city, to rebuild the walls, there's not anything to start from. They have to start fresh. That is because here it is all destroyed just as was prophesied. Following the Lord is not always easy. And yet Christ has said, anyone who leaves father or mother, a child or spouse for my sake, will receive more in this life and in eternity. Call you today first to take up your cross and follow after Christ. I will say to you tonight that I can sympathize with Ezekiel because I have a fantastic wife. But the calling of the Lord has been easy on my life. It's been a great grace and honor of the Lord to get to come here, to get to be a part of this church, to get to preach the gospel with all of you and participate together. And yet, sometimes we have to leave family, and yet sometimes we walk into great grief. But we do it willingly, saying just like Jesus Christ on the cross, not my will but yours be done. But secondly, this passage is really about God and His people. And it is so grievous that Israel actually sees it, and they get it for the first time. They actually turn to Ezekiel and say, my goodness, what does this mean? They cry out to him. And he lets them know that this is about the love of God and the agony of God. That God is so grieved, not because he hates Israel, but because he has loved them. Because they are his people who he has called out, who he has worked on behalf of them, who he's done so much for them. When we read in Ezekiel, we read in the prophets the depths of the agony of God, it is a reminder for us the depths of the love of God. Because he would not be in agony if he didn't like them. It would just be another day at the office, punishing them for their sin. And yet, we see here the depth of the love of God as he grieves over his people. And what's more, we recognize the devastation of sin, how awful it really is. We must, as we've said throughout Ezekiel, and we say again, realize that sin has real consequences. That sin is not a small thing or a petty thing or a pet thing. But that is grievous in the eyes of the Lord because it hurts the people He loves. It hurts the sinner himself. It hurts you. But then those around you as well. And what's more, it brings us under the judgment of God. So we see here in this final episode, this last sign, that Israel gets that God is so grieved over their sin and that God will bring judgment. And yet there's been this phrase again and again. You've seen it. I read it 7 times in our passage this morning. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I want to conclude our time here in this judgment section of Ezekiel. I'm not leaving you hanging. We'll come into the rest of Ezekiel at another point sometime in the future, but I just want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. I want you to hear and I want you to know the conclusion of this. God, though He brought judgment on Israel, He did not leave them in their judgment. You see, even though they went off into Babylonian captivity, even though their families were torn apart and it was all done rightly by God's will because of their sin and their continual refusal to repent, God, even from this point, has a plan for their redemption. He's going to send Jesus Christ, who is going to come and bear the sins of us all. Of all Israel, of all these people, He is going to make them new, even though He has crushed them, taken away their nation, taken away their walls, taken away their city, even though they are off as slaves again and now even worse off than they were in Egypt. They are as if a valley of dry bones. This is the prophecy in Ezekiel 37 that God gives after the wrath is poured out, after Jerusalem has been destroyed, now that everyone is in captivity. God says through Ezekiel these words, "The hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by His Spirit, and He set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And He led me all around them, and there were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I replied, 'Lord God, only You know.' He said to me, 'Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones: I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you and make flesh grow on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you so that you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And while I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, tendons appeared on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the Lord says: Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. And then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, "Our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are cut off." Therefore, prophesy and say to them, "This is what the Lord God says: I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." Though God is grieved, though Ezekiel is grieved, God is grieved so much as to do something about it. And He is the one who can. Though we are dead in our sins and transgressions, yet He has brought us to life in Jesus Christ. God has put His own Spirit into us, we who would believe, and made us alive. This was God's plan from the beginning. Though Ezekiel is temporarily grieved, Ezekiel knows the conclusion, and he knows the outcome. He knows the resurrection of the dead, that God will have His people in His land worshiping Him rightly by His own will. Congregation, take great hope in the book of Ezekiel, that though we have been sinners, God has not cast us out forever, but rather He has poured out His wrath on Christ for us so that we could live. And He has done this so that you will know that He is the Lord. The Lord says, "I have spoken and I will do it." This is the declaration of the Lord. Father God, I thank You so much that You've been so gracious to us. Even when it is difficult and costly to follow after You, I thank You that yet You have still been gracious to us, and the real burden You have carried Yourself. I thank You that You carried the burden for our sins. Father God, I thank You so much that You've been so gracious to all of us. And Jesus, come soon. bring the dead to life on that day. And let us be with them forever in your kingdom. Until that day, we will be here worshiping you. This I pray in your name. Amen.